Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. Family, welcome to day 308 here at the Bible Department. Today, we are looking at Proverbs chapters 19, 20, and 21. And hopefully, we just get a little bit more wise. Like, the goal is to get wiser and wiser and wiser and wiser and wiser. If we walk with the wise, we will get wise. And reading the Proverbs is a way to walk with the wise. Wise people have left us their writings, and we want to walk with them by reading what they've got to say. And so if you have not done the reading today, how about you stop this video, pause the audio, go get the reading done, okay? You want to get Proverbs chapters 19, 20, and 21 fully read, and then come on back, all right? For those of us who have done the reading, no real context clues for today. Again, this is not really how Proverbs works, right? It's not a book that is heavy on context, but very, very heavy. Almost every single line out of the book can be applied timelessly as a truth to your life. So low on the context clues, heavy on the timeless truth. I've been enjoying giving you nerdy nuggets every day, aka my top 10. Today I've got 7. I think finally I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be realistic. I think I can give you 7 of my favorite verses that came out of today's reading. So let's get to it. All right. Again, no context, no author, no audience, no history, none of that. Okay. Not today, at least. So I'm going to give you 7 verses that stuck out to me and just kind of talk through those. Okay. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Obviously, we got chapter 19, chapter 20, and chapter 21 today on the docket. So let's start with Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says this: a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. A person's wisdom yields patience. Man, how do you know if you're a wise person? Are you patient? Are you a patient person? Okay. Wise people are in it for the long haul. Okay. Remember, Proverbs is going to warn against get rich quick schemes. Like anything that's kind of like overnight success, Proverbs is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Gather money little by little, right? Succeed, grow little by little. So this same idea can be found in Proverbs 19:11. A person's wisdom yields patience. Well, what's required to make an investment and, not see a return on that investment for 30 years? To leave your money in the stock market and just let it do its thing for 30 years. Patience. To buy a piece of property and just let it become more and more valuable over time. Patience. Okay, patience. Impatient people want to buy property, then sell it. And then like buy stocks and then sell it. You know, patience. Okay. A person's wisdom yields patience. Patience. Not in a rush. Zero rush. That doesn't mean that there's never an urgency. It just means there's never a rush. There's a big difference between urgency and rush. Okay. And so, all right. It is one's glory to overlook an offense. So not only, okay, I'm going to be patient in life, but I'm going to be patient in my dealings with other people, and I'm able to overlook an offense because I'm a patient person, which means, you know what? I understand that it's going to take time to develop the people around me or to be in reconciled relationships, and so patience is par for the course. You know, if I'm going to be someone who is going to have fruitful relationships, then I'm going to have the kind of patience that can overlook an offense. That's a great verse, man. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. That's worth memorizing. A person's wisdom yields patience. You can't claim to be wise if you're not patient, okay? You can't claim to be wise if you're impulsive. You can't claim to be wise if you're like, if you've got this like frantic kind of behavior. No. Patience. Patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Okay. So when you overlooking a fence, don't think, oh, that person got over on me. Think, oh, it's to my glory that I overlooked that offense. Like that actually reflects good on me. I'm not soft because I overlooked an offense. I am wise because I overlooked an offense. All right, it's my first one. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22 says this. What a person desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. Better to be poor than a liar. Okay. What a person desires is unfailing love. What is unfailing love? Unfailing love is the kind of love where you can be honest. Okay. And then it says, better to be poor than a liar. Okay, so the Bible is giving us wisdom around lying. Like, hey, if you just met a woman, it's better to be poor. Like, it's better to let her know I'm poor than to flex or to pretend like you're somebody that you're not, because that's not going to be a relationship that leads to unfailing love. You just set yourself up for a gold digger to find you if you're flexing and lying and acting like you're somebody that you're not. But it's better to be poor than a liar. You don't need a lie. You don't need a lie. When I first met my wife, she knew I was broke. I was broke. It's okay. I'd rather be poor than a liar. I'm not gonna lie about and make it seem like I got more than I do. I don't. I'm broke. I need somebody who's down to help me and who's down to build with me, who's down to build an empire with me, who's down to build a ministry with me. I'd rather be poor than a liar. Okay. Next. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. All right, let's dive into this one, because I'll kind of tell you my own story and then kind of teach a principle here that I think Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 wants us to learn. Okay, first the story. I grew up in a church that essentially taught that any drinking was sin. Drinking alcohol, whether it was a tiny amount or enough to get you inebriated, was a sin. Okay. And then I went off to college and I met people who, and I lived in England. And then I just came to the realization, okay, the perspective that I heard at church growing up is not true. And so I had to deconstruct that idea that drinking was a sin. Now, here's what happens when you deconstruct. When you deconstruct, you don't know what to trust and what not to trust. So you start questioning everything that that church or that person taught you. Instead of chewing the meat, spitting out the bones, you spit out all the meat, any meat and bones, you know? And so deconstruction always leads to an overcorrection. And I know a lot of people who this is the path that they went on. They were raised in a church that said drinking's a sin. And then they realized, okay, the Bible doesn't say that drinking's a sin. And so then, in their newfound Christian liberty, they began to enjoy, indulge, and maybe even abuse alcohol. And recently, probably the last 2 to 3 years, maybe 3 years, yeah, probably 3 years, I made a personal decision that alcohol was of no positive value to me, that I was enjoying and indulging in alcohol just to celebrate the fact that I could. Just to be, you know, I'm free. I'm a Christian. This wasn't right, so I'm gonna enjoy it because I can. And I don't know. I just got to a place of like, why am I doing something just because I can? Doing something just because I can do it is not wise. Literally, Paul says everything is permissible for you, but not all things are beneficial. So the real question to ask is never, well, is that a sin? It's a terrible question. The is it a sin question is actually not a wise question. Here's a good question. Is it wise? Is it beneficial? Is it profitable? Will it jeopardize my witness? Wisdom is not asking about whether it's a sin. Wisdom is wondering what's the value add. And so for me, I realized I actually don't need to come to any theological stances on whether or not this is a sin or not, because it's not a sin issue. It's a wisdom issue. And so I began to realize consuming alcohol is just not very wise. It's not a very wise thing to do. So I stopped. I also, and this is also why I began to operate in wisdom as opposed to freedom. You know, what do I have the right to do? Instead of operating in my Christian rights, I decided, yeah, who cares what I have the right to do? Let's just talk about what's wise, what's beneficial. And I came to this conclusion. If I did not consume alcohol, I could pastor and lead people who did and didn't consume alcohol. By being someone who does not consume alcohol, I could lead people who do and don't consume alcohol. However, if I was someone who did consume alcohol, people who don't consume alcohol would be turned off. And my job is not to assert my rights or my freedoms as a Christian. My job is to be all things to all men. So I put it on the altar and said, I could sacrifice that. Because anything that you can't just slit its throat and sacrifice is an idol. Wine is a mocker. Doesn't say getting drunk's a mocker. Wine. Wine's a mocker. Beer, a brawler. Wine and beer, mockers and brawlers. Whoever is led astray by them, not wise. It doesn't say that whoever's led astray by them is in sin. It says whoever's led astray by them, not wise. It's not wise. And so I think that a lot of times we get stuck in this, well, is it a sin? Is it not a sin? Is it a sin? Is it not a sin? And I think that's such a silly debate. Debating on whether or not things are sin or not sin, I think is immature. Here's what I think is really mature. To ask a better question. Is it wise? Is it beneficial? Is it a value add? I think that's a more helpful question. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to convince me or anybody else that drinking is a value add. Now, I'm not saying that you need to abstain. I'm not. I'm just offering a wise perspective, which I think Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 wants us to at least consider. Okay, next one. I did three so far. Okay, number four, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 says, do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. I need like every person under the age of 30 to tattoo that on their chest. Do not love sleep. Do not love sleep. If you like sleep, if you're just like, yo, man, I just love sleep. All right, you're going to be broke. Do not love sleep. Do not love sleep or you will grow poor. I know a lot of people who love sleep. They love sleep. You know, they're just like, I got to get in bed at a certain time. I can't wake up, you know, early. It's like, all right, cool. You love sleep. You like sleep. Cool. You and sleep going to be buddies. You and sleep going to be friends. Because sleep broke and you broke. Y'all both broke. You and sleep both broke. So I watched this dude, this guy, you know, he was like, hey, I can tell you right now, based on what time you go to sleep, I can tell you how much body fat percentage you got. And I felt convicted. Because literally the time that he said certain people go to sleep, I was like, that's my body fat percentage. And I think there's something powerful about being an early riser. We have multiple episodes of this podcast filmed every morning. You know, Cam picks me up from my house at 6 o'clock in the morning. By the time 9:30, 10 o'clock, by the time other people on our team roll in, me and Cam have already finished 2, 3, 4 episodes. You know, I don't love sleep. I don't love sleep. One day I'm asleep. I'm gonna do a lot of sleeping. You know what I'm saying? In my 70s and my 80s, when I'm dead, I'm asleep. But it's not time to sleep right now. It's time to get this work done. And these videos ain't going to record themselves. And this Bible ain't going to study itself. This church ain't going to build itself. Those who love sleep, do not love sleep or you will grow poor. That doesn't mean you can't appreciate sleep. Doesn't mean that you can't desire sleep. It doesn't mean sleep's not an idol. So, you know, a lot of times it's like we got 5 o'clock flights. That means we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. We get picked up from a hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning and get brought to the airport. And that's a part of just being an adult. If you're grumpy when you don't have enough sleep, you're still a toddler. Like that's crazy, yo. That's childish. And I'm kind of grumpy. I didn't get enough sleep. Are you three? I mean, you grumpy. You didn't get enough sleep. Do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. It's a good verse. Fantastic verse. All right, next one. I just love wisdom because it's not complicated. It's like, hey, fall out of love with sleep. If you love sleep, you got to start telling yourself, I don't love sleep. The only way, but we've created this narrative and culture that you can't fall out of love with something that you love. You know, once people say they love something, it's like it becomes an untouchable idol. But you can't love sleep. You're going to be a bad parent if you love sleep because kids are born and they take away all your sleep. Okay, Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 19 says this, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Isn't that a good verse? Avoid people who talk too much. If people gossip, just avoid them. Avoid them like the plague. I tell people negativity and gossip are like bad breath. It's going to cause people to just back away. You know, just take steps back. You know, gossip and negativity. You start complaining around me or gossiping about other people, I'm going to cut that conversation short. I'm going to be like, oh, wow, the angel Gabriel's calling me. Look at that. I got to go. I'm definitely going to be like, oh, wow, Mickey Mouse is FaceTiming me. I got to go. You know, you start just venting or just complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining about this, being negative. You know, I was talking to somebody recently and they were just being super negative and they were like, yeah, and I can't find a job. And I was like, now when you go to job interviews, is this the person who goes to the job interview? Because I've interviewed a lot of people. Guess what I want? I want excited. You know, I'm not trying to hire a depressed person to work at our organization. I'm not trying to hire Eeyore, you know? So if you walking in the job interview with Eeyore vibes, they were like, yeah, I've done like 20 job interviews. I can't find a job. I was like, I could probably tell you why. You know, you got a negative vibe. You got negative energy. Guess what? Positive, full of joy, you know, just chipper, upbeat. Man, everybody's attracted to that. But gossiping, negative, complainers, you know, slackers, oof. Avoid anyone who talks too much. That's good advice right there. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17 is number 6. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17. Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. I think sometimes we associate wealth with a life of luxury. But actually, Proverbs makes the argument, wealth isn't about how much luxury or how much sleep or how much of that stuff you can get. The average wealthy person does not live a life of pleasure and luxury. The average wealthy person in America owns a dry cleaners, a laundry mat, drives a Ford F-150. The average millionaire in America is the kind of person who, you know, is not living a flashy lifestyle, okay? Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Absolutely. My dad found pleasure in crack, so that brother's poor. Anyone who the enemy can manipulate your desire for pleasure, you're going to become poor. So if you like porn, you're going to be poor. You're going to be broke because that's a form of pleasure. And you're going to be broke. You're going to find yourself poor because anyone who, the moment the enemy knows, you know, your weakness for pleasure, he can exploit you. And anyone who can be exploited is always going to be poor. So anyone who's just like, I want pleasure. I want a soft life. I want an easy life. I want luxury. You know, you're going to be poor because you're going to end up working to spend money on vacations you can't afford and on stuff that you can't afford. So now you're working to keep up a certain lifestyle instead of working to invest, working to sow, working to put away money so that you can have capital to start a business. So whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, because you'll look at a budget and you'll twist the numbers to get the things that you want. Pleasure means that you're not thinking with your brain. You're thinking with your emotions. You're thinking with desire. And that's just not a way to make decisions. Whoever loves pleasure, that person's going to become poor because they're going to end up buying the things that bring them pleasure because pleasures aren't free. Okay. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich because it means that you're gonna be, people are gonna take advantage of you. They know what you find pleasure in, they'll take advantage of you. And then last, our last, number 7, is actually our timeless truth. So it's both a nerdy nugget and a timeless truth. Here we go. It's Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9 and 19. And these are right next to each other in my Bible. Verse 9 is on like the left column and verse 19 is on the right column. Okay, it says this, better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Ooh, don't nobody want no argumentative wife, man. It's better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a wife who's quarrelsome. Ah, argumentative. Ah, quarrelsome, nagging, annoying. Right next to it, okay, verse 19. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. Okay, so as a nerdy nugget, number 1, if you currently have a girlfriend who's quarrelsome and nagging, break up with them. Because if they're nagging you now, like, marrying them's not going to put an end to the nagging. If they're mothering you now, that's not going to stop when you guys get married. All the red flags for quarrelsome, nagging behavior are there. Quarrelsome and nagging, like, hard to agree with, not agreeable. You know, they want you to take their last name. You know, they want to hyphenate their last name. They don't want to take your last name. Just hard to agree with, you know, just quarrelsome and like nagging. Like, just don't waste your time. Stop. Because life with that woman is going to be aggravating to no end. You're going to want to be on the corner of the roof. And what's going to happen is you're just going to not go home. And you're going to find ways to avoid being around her. And I would say that if you're a woman, don't be with a quarrelsome or nagging boyfriend. Leave that joker. So if he's always complaining, always negative, you know, if he's angry, like, that's just quarrelsome. It's good that you guys have healthy conflict, but if the bulk of the relationship is just arguing and bickering, that's just annoying, man. That person doesn't know how to just be agreeable. It's better to live in the desert than live with that. So that's our nerdy nugget. Now let's flip it into a timeless truth. Guess what, family? We are the bride of Christ. If you're a Christian and you're listening or watching this podcast, we are the bride of Christ. So here's a question. As a bride, am I a quarrelsome and nagging wife to Jesus? Do I keep telling him about the things I need and what I asked and what I asked for the last time I prayed? And God, please give me a, please, God, give me this. God, please give me this. God, are you nagging or are you worshipful? Are you praising? When we gather on Sundays, I never want our church to be a nagging church to Jesus. I want us to be a church that worships the Lord and praises him regardless of what he's done. And so that comes from a place of gratitude. You've already done more than enough. I'm winning. I'm grateful. And if we can go back up to the nerdy nugget, if you're someone who's quarrelsome, the issue is that you're not content and you lack gratitude. If you were to up your level of contentment and gratitude, you wouldn't be a quarrelsome spouse. And then spiritually, if you were to get contentment and gratitude, you wouldn't be quarrelsome and nagging to King Jesus. And so that's timelessly true. So many of these are timelessly true, but that one is 100% true for New Testament believers today. Tomorrow, we got day 309. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 22, 23, and 24. I'm pumped. I love Proverbs, if you can't tell. I love wisdom. Wisdom, 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 wisdom. It's the chief thing. Here's the beginning of wisdom. Get wisdom. I'm glad that you're here with me, tuned in so that we can get wisdom together. Tomorrow we got Proverbs 22, 23, and 24. If you're on a streak, I'm proud of you. Even if you're not on a streak, I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Thank you so much for joining me on the Bible Department podcast. If this episode was helpful, it would mean the world to me if you'd give us a follow, rate and review the show, and don't forget to share. You can learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and find us on Instagram at the Bible Department. If you want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow. What if I told you that what you're learning in this video was just the tip of the iceberg? The Bible Department is actually powered by Arma. What is Arma? I'm so glad you asked. Arma is an online subscription-based platform that we designed to help people, everyday people, learn the Bible for themselves. We started Arma so that anybody, anywhere, could have access to trustworthy and entertaining Bible and theology content. In addition to this podcast, we have over 60 courses on individual books of the Bible, on theology topics, and on some hot topics like homosexuality, tithing, and women in ministry. But really, Arma is a community of people that I've gotten to know, a community where thousands of people are currently finding family, asking questions, and nerding out on the Bible together. If you want a community to read the Bible with you this year, or if you want to dive into some deeper theological content, or if you want more exclusive access to me and the entire Arma team, how about you go to thebibledepartment.com.
I'll be sure to post the link in the description of this video. Let's make this your year to become a Bible nerd.